Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio, Black Belt Wall Street. I am speaking to you live from Washington, D.C. as your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed, and greetings, and I sound like you, Brother Bilal.
Welcome to my Brother Aziz. How are you this evening?
Oh, good, good, my bro. Good, good. How are you, my bro?
Everything's pretty good. Just want to talk about tonight's show just a little bit while our audience are coming on. And, of course, tonight's show is our continuation of natural disasters and the natural disaster training. But we, at the last moment, decided to put in the racism. So the title of tonight's show is Natural Disaster and Racism. And the reason we put the racism part in is because of the things that are happening in our country at the moment, Brother Aziz. We have our Justice Department is being threatened. Our FBI is being threatened. And I'm saying to myself, how can this possibly happen? Our Justice Department and the police, and this is all being threatened by the same folks who did an insurrection on our nation's capital and the Capitol building just a few months ago. And so this is a continuation, and it was also said from the supremacists, these folks are out to attack our democracy. They were telling folks that not only are they out to do damage to the FBI and the Department of Justice, and but they were saying that persuading white folks that to go into the gun stores and start buying up all the guns they could buy and all the ammunition because it's time for a national battle. It's time for the white supremacy to go into a national fight. And and this is being said publicly, openly. I'm saying, when you are threatening law enforcement, and then you issue a warning to folks to get weapons and to start fighting for white supremacy. What does that mean, Brother Aziz? What does that mean as far as African Americans? Is it time for us to do the same thing that the white supremacists are threatening our security? Is it time for us to make certain that we have the protection in our communities and in our homes to protect ourselves? Because, again, the white supremacists can say they're going to attack law and order. Then what kind of security is there for African Americans? Of course, we know we have to secure ourselves. But anyway, that's why we put that topic in there this evening, the natural disasters and the racism, because of the hate that's going on. And this hate is directly towards the institutions that are supposed to be protecting our countries. So that's something that I know that we put it in there because, again, Brother Aziz, you and I know that when it comes to African Americans being able to communicate with each other, white folks have the news media. They can put out communications instantly where whatever is going on in the country or whatever is going on in their communities can be known immediately. But we as African Americans, we don't have such channels of communications. Therefore, Black Belt Wall Street and our blog radio station for the last 7 years, we've been putting out the information to counter some of the public noise that we're hearing. We need much more channels of communications in our communities. And New Africa Business Association and Black Belt Wall Street is doing their best to be informative to the community. So with that said, Brother Aziz, I don't want to waste too much time because there is a sister that that I am expecting to come on. Let's see if Sister Williams, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Good evening, everyone.
Phones on mute, please. If you're not speaking, I'm opening up all the mics to everyone as you come on so we can all communicate with each other. But until you're ready to speak, put your machines on mute until you're ready to speak. Miss Williams, I'm going to turn it over to you because I know you have a special guest, and I think if she's with her, her time is very short. So, Miss Williams, what can you tell us as far as our special guest?
Good evening, and yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Bilal, for allowing Sister Patricia Muhammad to be on your program this evening. She is bringing us a wonderful opportunity to participate in the 50th National Black Political Convention that's going to be held in Newark, New Jersey, October 21st through the 23rd. Now, this lady, she was instrumental in putting together all of those activities that we attended for the Mayor's Conference, World Conference of Mayors, as a matter of fact, there in Tulsa during the commemoration of the 100th year assassination or massacre of all of our people there. Now, I don't know what's wrong with these children. Hey, excuse me. Hey, you guys got to be more quiet. Excuse me, guys. I didn't mean to yell like that, but they were in there playing karaoke, and I can't have it. But anyway, Sister Patricia is helping to coordinate the activities that will be going on at the 50th Annual Black National Political Convention. Brothers and sisters, let us welcome Sister Patricia as she comes to us to tell us about how we can benefit as being sponsors, vendors, and other activities with this convention. And she will also give us a little background information as to the founding of this political movement back in 1972. So, Sister Patricia, if you're with us, we are all ears, and we turn it over to you.
Okay. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. Great. Peace and blessings, brothers and sisters. I am just very honored to be here with you today and just love to tell you about the 50th anniversary of the National Black Political Convention. The original convention was held on March the 10th through 12th, 1972, in Gary, Indiana. It was hosted by and convened by the Honorable Mayor Richard Hatcher of Gary, Indiana, Congressman Charles Diggs of Detroit, and poet Leroy Jones, better known as Amira Baraka of Newark, New Jersey. This is the 50th anniversary. The whole goal of the convention was to set a black agenda. And 1972, as you can imagine, we were coming off of our strong power of the not only of the freedom movement, the civil rights movement, but of the black power movement. And it was time for a political movement to take all of that power and put it into a political movement. And that's what they did. There were major speakers there, Betty Shabazz, the widow of Malcolm X, then Mrs. Coretta Scott King, then the widow of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It was the Reverend Jesse Jackson, other political leaders. But it was also a star-studded event. At that time, Shaft had just come out, so you had Richard Roundtree there, Isaac Hayes, of course, Harry Belafonte, and other speakers, Minister Louis Farrakhan, representing the Nation of Islam, was there. And I would just encourage everyone to just Google and look at the trailer on that. You may have heard of the phrase, what time is it? It's nation time. And Amira Baraka, poet Leroy Jones of Newark, actually wrote a book and poetry with that. It's what time is it? It's nation time. So that became the theme of the convention. What time is it? It's nation time. And so everyone was coming out of saying, of the convention saying, it's nation time. It is time for us to actually take our power and build a political base, a actual nation in which we could control ourselves and our community. And so this is the 50th anniversary of that. So what does that mean? Well, we want to revisit in the city of Newark, and that's the home of Amira Baraka, and now the home of Mayor Ross Baraka, his son. And we will be hosting that event. He's convening that the conference with, along with Mayor Lumumba of Jackson, Mississippi, and the late James Ntume, who passed away, unfortunately, in January. He will not get an opportunity to look at, to be there at the convention. Now, and I did send information out to people, but you can just Google National Black Political Convention 2022. National Black Political Convention 2022. It will be held October the 21st, Friday, October the 21st, through Sunday, October the 23rd. We are still in the process of actually defining some of our workshops. But generally what I can tell you is this. There should be an opening reception on Thursday evening before the convention. On Friday, October the 21st, that will be a day of workshops with a number of topics and issues from mass incarceration to education, economics, women's issues. And on Saturday, October the 22nd, there will be an all-day caucus of various delegates from around the country. There were 10,000 delegates in 1972, 10,000. And so we're hoping that thousands will again convene, as well as thousands on virtual, because the whole goal of that day is to actually come up with a black agenda on various issues. What should be our agenda on education, on economics, on family? So we were asking people to represent your state. Tell us what should be our agenda for this century coming up. And on Sunday, October the 23rd, there will be a memorial service for the late James Ntume, and you may have all heard of the song Juicy Fruit. So, and know that Brother Ntume was a very, very active person in black nationalism. So he will be eulogized on that day by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam. But there will be a number of other speakers and celebrities and family members who will be memorializing him on that day and remembering his activism. So that's what we have so far, and that is Friday, October the 21st, we will have workshops, and on Saturday, October the 22nd, that will be the day in which the convention will be held and the delegates will vote on a new black agenda. And then on Sunday, the 23rd, there will be the memorial service for Brother James Ntume. We will leave the convention with a black agenda, and we are hoping then to take that agenda out to the world as we go through 2023 and on to 2024. What time is it, everyone? It's nation time. What time is it? It's nation time. Thank you, Brother Bilal.
And thank you, Sister. Sister Joyce.
Yes, sir.
Our mics are open. I didn't know if you was going to entertain any kind of questions. But the
Sister Patricia, are you still with us?
I am. I'm available for questions.
I was wondering, and I know your time, you know, I know you're very busy, but would you also tell us about the mayor there in Taft, who is the daughter of the Black Wall Street Massacre.
Yes, thank you for asking. So, as I mentioned, the convention was in March 1972, and the whole idea was to go out and establish our political agenda, run for political office, and take the power that that our citizenship in this country allowed us to do, and as well as do independent political power, just as many other people do. So that next year, 1973, Leela Foley Davis, became the first black woman mayor elected in the country from Taft, Oklahoma. And just a little background about her, her mother was one of the survivors of the massacre of Black Wall Street in Tulsa. If you can imagine that Tulsa was the focal point of black life in Oklahoma and in the South and Southwest. So her mother was in Tulsa. And what happened then when they start the bombing on May 31st and June 1st, 1921, her mother was caught up in that. And what happened is her mother's brothers were able to get her out of the Black Wall Street, the Greenwood area, you know, those railroad tracks that you have to go. So they stayed, but they got their sister out. Her leg was cut on barbed wire, and she walked nearly 30 miles to Taft, Oklahoma. She walked that way 30 to 40 miles to get there, and people were just walking everywhere and just fleeing that. So she is the daughter of a survivor of the massacre of Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So that gave her the fire to say, hey, I'm a woman. I'm a very petite woman. And at that time also, she was in a unique situation as a woman. She had children. And she had those children out of wedlock. And so the whole idea was, you know, oh, no, you cannot stand up. The same as they did with Claudette Colvin down in Montgomery. Because she had a child out of wedlock, she was the first black and the first black woman to sit down on that bus. Now, Mrs. Rosa Parks was her mentor. But they didn't allow Claudette Colvin to actually go have the, you know, the lawsuit, and the community did not rally around her because of that. Well, Mayor Foley Davis has actually, she said, I don't care. You know, what's going to happen is is that I am still a citizen. I still want power. And as a woman, I must take that power. And so in 1973, she became the first black woman elected mayor. Now, curiously enough, with she joined some other black mayors, but they were all men. And that includes Mayor Richard Hatcher of Gary, Indiana. And she also received a lot of attention. In fact, Red Fox, the comedian of Sanford and Son fame and other things, actually came to Taft and was honorary chief of police of Taft. So that's a really exciting, you know, she tells the stories. And also another story she tells is that when she went to Washington, D.C., and at that time it was President Gerald Ford. This was like Ford, if you remember, came in after the Nixon was impeached and left office. So this was around 1974 to 76 before Jimmy Carter was elected. So she went to Washington, D.C. because they're like, oh, okay, here we've got this woman here. And so she went in, and I think they had a little dog running up and down. So she tells the story how she, you know, everybody was like, oh, beautiful dog, this and that. And her story is, listen, Mr. President, I didn't come all the way from Taft, Oklahoma to Washington, D.C., to admire a dog. I came here for money and other resources that my community needs. We need housing. We need other resources. And she said everybody was taken aback with her. So I guess I'm a black woman, you know, and black women, we are about speaking our minds, but I'm elected to do something for my people. So I'm here to do it. Go, you know, that dog and all of that stuff, that's fine. And she said right after that, you know, the president did have one of his staff people contact her, and she was able to get some housing for Taft, Oklahoma. So Mayor Foley Davis will be a national hostess as the first black woman there. And so I know Sister Joyce and others from Oklahoma are very excited about that. She will represent the state well and represent black women well. And so we are asking people to support her and her hostess position. And what does that mean? What that means is that we would like to have a reception, and she will be hosting others to come there to the reception, other black women mayors. As I mentioned, the mayor, Lumumba of Jackson, and Mayor Roz Baraka of Newark are conveners. But other mayors from around the country will be there. We know we have a black mayor in New York City, right adjacent to Newark. We know from Baltimore and Washington, D.C., and throughout other major cities will be there. And in the South, we have a black woman mayor, and New Orleans, and Atlanta, and Baton Rouge, and small towns as well. We a lot of times we focus on the big cities. Also, I forgot, forgive me, in San Francisco, the sister who runs San Francisco. And so that's just among the those. But no matter where these black women mayors come from, Mayor Foley Davis, Lela Foley Davis of Taft, Oklahoma, was the first. So she's asking people to help her in her position as a hostess. And that means we want to have receptions. We're looking to have some other events that we, right now, I can't really speak about all the events because we have to, we're still developing that program. But we do know that she has been asked to be one of the national hostess. And that means a lot for people who are coming from Black Wall Street. She is the queen mother of Black Wall Street. She was actually in Sewell while we were there for the 100th, the centennial commemoration of the massacre last year in 2021. She was in Sewell, a queen mother, Dr. Deloise Blakely, who will also be there. She is Queen Mother, but she is the community mayor of Harlem, New York, and also has been active over 50 years at the United Nations. She's also Queen Mother of Gorée Island and Senegal. So we do expect to have a Queen Mother delegation. I've actually submitted for have Queen Mother delegation. We'll have Queen Mother Kathleen Harmon out of San Diego, California, also there. She just celebrated last week her 91st birthday. And so she's a very active political active person in California. So we do expect to have a Queen Mother delegation there, and would love for everyone to give them their support. We want to have we would like to have a work session on economic development, because as I said, this is development of the Black agenda. So what should the Black economic agenda be? It cannot be just jobs and justice. You know how every year, and we love him dear, the Reverend Al Sharpton and others, the whole idea is still back to that jobs and justice. We love the Reverend William Barber and the Poor People's Campaign, but we got to move beyond poor people. You know what I mean, brothers and sisters. Yeah. So we got to move beyond that. So we're really counting on people to be a delegate and actually do, develop that economic agenda and put that forth. But it has to be more concrete. It can't be just, we need money, we need jobs, we need this. We know we do. But what's the game plan? What's the blueprint? You know, and not to be long and everything. I don't want to be too long. But I come from the whole aspect of Mr. Booker T. Washington. You know, we have to cast down our buckets where we are. We're going to have to use the land base, as Mr. Washington taught us. Mr. Washington said that, and up from slavery, he said every great civilization gets its prowess from a land base. It has to have a land base. So over the years, I've written about and speak about the land base theory. You have to have a land base in order to build a civilization, because it's not just good to just be emancipated. But, you know, we have to build a civilization. We have to move from emancipation to true freedom to building a civilization. So we're looking for you guys to actually, in my organization, United Black Wall Streets of America and others, to actually say, how do we build this economic agenda? And moving beyond even reparations. We want reparations. We are due reparations. But we also have to be industrious, as Mr. Washington taught us to be, and cast down our buckets where we are. And we are in the South, and we're in the cities. And so we just need to look at the economic base. As I said, and I just want to reiterate, there will be mayors and Black mayors from around the country there. But these mayors represent major cities. And in these cities are opportunity zones. And so we need to build back the industrial base and the manufacturing base of this country that can be in these cities. And so you'll have an opportunity to meet these people. And so next question.
Let's see, Sister Patricia, honey. You have given us a mouthful, but let me ask. There may be some questions, Brother Bilal, do you guys have comments or questions for Sister Patricia?
Excuse me, Ms. Wim. I want to, Sister Aisha, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Sister Aisha, can you, I know you probably have a few questions. My concern is, what role can we play as far as putting together this national agenda? Because when it comes to Black Belt Wall Street and Black Belt, we've been discussing business advantages now for over 7 years. We've been talking about community finance, becoming each other's assets so we can build our communities and, yes, buying land and putting businesses in our own black communities is an agenda that we've been putting together for years. And now we have this where we can bring it before mayors and other delegates and other community activists at this convention. What role, and I'll let you ask this question, Sister Aisha, what role can New Africa Business Association and Black Belt Wall Street, what role can we play there? And Sister Aisha, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Brother Bilal, and good evening to everyone, and also to our special guest, Sister Muhammad. We are excited to hear about the conference, and we are looking forward to about the convention, and we are looking forward to attending. And, of course, we have been working on this initiative for quite a few months, and Black Belt Wall Street for many years is to find, my question is, as our society is changing, and we have to, and we are constantly being impacted by all the changes in society, one of our concentrations, as well as developing generational wealth for our community, is the issue of climate change and disaster relief. Black Belt Wall Street, we have taken this initiative on, and we have already established a platform by which we can educate our people and get resources from the federal government and other sources to bring into our community to shore up some of the structures that have already been destroyed by natural disaster and the pending or the possibility of other structures. So, as you know today, and I'll finish my question, Sister Muhammad, in just a second. I just wanted to give some background information. Some of you might have received in your inbox the mitigation monies that were allocated by FEMA, that $3.95 billion funding package that was sent out today, information about that package, and they are made a special note in the information that FEMA is going to provide technical assistance primarily in hazard mitigation to the historically disadvantaged communities. So they are making this a priority. And I think that we can all agree we fall into that category of the historical disadvantaged communities. So my question is, will there be a place at the convention for a serious discussion on climate change and pre-disaster preparedness and disaster relief for our communities nationwide? And do you foresee that we can develop partnerships and coalitions at the convention nationwide to deal with this issue of economic disparity and climate change?
Oh, thank you, Sister, for that question. There will be opportunity at the convention. And what I'm saying is that this is our convention. And it is what we make it. And that's why 1972, brothers and sisters, with information, with knowledge, and just interest, as your group have, came forth. And so every issue is a voting issue. And that's not my, but that comes from Mrs. Rose, Fire Rose Touré of Selma, Alabama. Every issue is a voting issue. So let's take climate change. Climate change is another voting issue. Why? We just saw that the president has done an infrastructure bill and a bill on climate change. For example, electric cars. I know I've sent out some information, and maybe I think it was to you, Sister Joyce, and others. Even today, we were on another call with the Small Business Administration on international business. The Black Chamber of Commerce was on that, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Okay, so when we're talking about climate change, and I see that in several ways. For example, coming from a Gulf Coast state, Mississippi, okay, and we saw with the BP oil spill. You know, there's still tons of money left in that BP oil spill fund all along the coast, because we were using the coastline. We had crawfish and everything else, and shrimp and other things. So that impacted us. As we live along the coastline, and we talk about it, especially I'm saying in Mississippi and other areas, God forbid if we have another Katrina. We know what Katrina happened to us. And I'm glad to say that the head of the Homeland Security and FEMA office, Congressman Benny Thompson, is my congressman in Mississippi. So we'll have access to some of those same persons. See, a lot of times what I tell people, they say, you know, oh, our politicians don't do anything for us. What political leaders are to do is to take your information and incorporate that into bills, into legislation, and into policy. Now it's up to us to actually have the social, the economic infrastructure in order to utilize that. For example, what we're doing with Mayor Foley Davis and TAF and others is we're developing community development corporation. And we have developed the TAF. It's called TEAMED, and it's a TAF economic and development corporation that we have. So through those corporations, because you can only get these funds through the community development corporations, community development financial institutions, and other, some for-profit, some non-profit. And so many of our organizations and many of our communities, we don't even have the development corporations. So what we need to do is you'll have access to convention also is going to tell us how to lobby those persons. So now, so that we can actually write the policies. So if we're looking at climate change, one of the other things with climate change that we're looking at is farmland, because we need to be able to develop a watershed on our farmland. We see that the Colorado River has just dried up, and I think the U.S. has now, the U.S. government, the federal government has said, we've got to share water from the Colorado River. We've got to limit this water. And it's just not that. It's all over the country. But let me tell you something, sister, with respect to farmland and climate change. Black people own, live, or occupy some of the most fertile land in this country, so that we're being blessed by the God to say, hey, we still have water. We still have water. We still have underground aquifers in our lands. We still have some good fisheries in our land. So we can still use that as far as climate change. The other aspect of climate change has to do with, like I said, the electric cars. I know Ford in Kentucky, I mean, everybody is focusing on this electric car. They're going to hire 10,000 people. There's a small black town outside of Memphis called Mason, Tennessee. I think it's GM, is building a plant right outside, and they tried to take the little black town. And it's a good thing with the NAACP, I'm a member of it, and others, fought to make sure that they did not take the charters of those black towns. So when we talk about, say, in Oklahoma, 13 black towns, when we talk about in Mississippi and all through the South and even up north, when we talk about black towns, these towns are in zones that can be economically developed. And then the last thing I'll say also about climate change is that we were encouraging young people to be involved in The Department of Energy was doing solar power. There, and at Tougaloo College, right outside Jackson, Mississippi, there is a classes on solar power, on doing solar panels and others. So everything has to be linked economically with education and entrepreneurship. So there's an opportunity for us to build those cars or electric cars. There's an opportunity for us to have, they've got to have grids all over the country. So where is our electric, something I'm looking into, having the power, excuse me, like you're going for gas. So you're going to have the power stations all over this country for electric cars. There's a brother out of Birmingham who is doing an electric train. He wants to do it from Atlanta to Dallas. So, again, going through black towns. These are black towns that need to buy into this. And also jobs for our young people, because now we want to get them in forestry. We want to get them into, let's just say, farming, taking care of water resources, fisheries, and others. So there will be an opportunity if you make the opportunity. What we're doing is just opening the door. Okay?
Okay.
And giving the opportunity. Now you've got to actually write up what the policy should be. If we want jobs, the other big thing, and I'm going to end with this, in that initial infrastructure bill that was called Build Back Better, in order to have electric cars, you have to have rare earth elements. Rare earth elements. One of the major
Absolutely.
Places for rare earth element in this in the world is in Africa. Now, there are some places here, but what we wanted to do is develop, work with our African brothers and sisters, and they were willing to work with us because we have to actually set up the companies. And the Congo was like, okay, we'll give you mining rights. We'll give you all these mining rights because if the world is going to have electric cars, you have to have rare earth elements. But what we needed are the investment, so because we have to develop the mining companies, we have to develop the we have to have the actual businesses, we have to have the heavy equipment, and we have to have money up front to pay for people. And a lot of that money comes from can come from the import bank, the U.S. Export Import Bank. There can also be investment. And the last thing that I just thought about is there's a it's a program called Select USA, and that is if you live in another country, and you can invest in the United States, and in fact they're going to have another convention, event next month. No, on the 25th. This is August. Sorry, and on the 25th, Select USA. This is how Donald Trump gets a lot of money. And so people are coming from other countries, and they want to invest their money in the United States. But where are the black businesses? Where are the black community development corporations to get the money from HUD, to get the money from the Department of Agriculture? They have to flow through these organizations. So we have, like I said, in Taft, Oklahoma, we're setting up community development corporations. We're setting up community development corporations for businesses as well and for other black towns. I was just talking with a sister yesterday from the Southern Federation of Co-ops out of Alabama. They had an event last month in which rural housing, the Department of Agriculture is like, okay, we want to build rural housing. And if you're 62 years old or older, okay, you're going to get this at zero down payment, a lot of money. And so she was just telling me yesterday, she said, sister, we need 10 people in Alabama, 10 people in Alabama fill out the application. And we can't get 10 black folks in Alabama to fill out the application. And I'm like, we need to, even if you want to just move to Alabama. So if you, we need to have our black contractors and others. And a lot of times our people, they're hesitant. But when they come to a community development corporation that we have actually established, then we can walk them through this. And we can hold their hands. And we can assure them. So I was long-winded, but I'm trying to give you all enough information to let you understand that this is available to us, but we have to do our job. And our job is to actually put together the development corporations, the financial institutions, the nonprofits, the for-profits, the social entrepreneurs, the benefit corporations, the social purpose corporations, to actually allow this money to flow through us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I can truly say, yes, go ahead.
No, I was just, I didn't know if Brother Harris was with us or not. I guess not. We haven't heard anything from him. So he's probably.
Sister Muhammad, we certainly want to make sure that we get all of the information. And I cannot imagine that we at Black Belt Wall Street will not want to play an integral role in at this convention, and certainly at the caucus level or whatever level that we can. Hello? Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. So we definitely want to play an important role at this convention, and whatever initial input we can make as far as the organizational structure and some of the other details that I know that you all are working on, please don't hesitate to call on us, because we want to develop these partnerships so we can all move forward, both economically and as a nation of people.
So,
thank
you
very
much. Participating at the level of sponsorship, Sister Aisha. So, Sister Patricia, maybe, honey, I know we have. First of all, I'd like to thank you for being so informative. Honey, you're knowledgeable.
Yes, yes.
But guys, this is the lady I was telling you about before, when I had gone over to Tulsa for the meeting that did not take place.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone, I told you before, the sister even got to the elevator. My phone was ringing, and Sister Patricia was on the other line.
Right.
So when they said, and she's the lady I was referring to, when I said, when they say a door closes, another one opens, or a window opens, no, sir, no, ma'am. Allah, all praises. He took down the whole wall. Because as a result of that meeting not taking place, and this sister calling me, she's here tonight.
Yes.
Continuing to share information and opportunities with us. Sister Patricia, I'd like to thank you for taking time, but if you have just a little while to explain to us about the sponsorship, it would surely be appreciative or appreciated.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Okay. As I said, in order to put this on, we are putting forth our Mayor Foley Davis. As I said, she's from Taft, Oklahoma, the first Black woman elected mayor in the country. And the good thing about Taft, Oklahoma is that it's a small Black town, and we are establishing a community development corporation in Taft, Oklahoma, under her leadership. And so this is allows money to come through.
There's opportunities in that, sister. Because now, Roy, you recognize Taft as being like something like Florida next, okay? So it's a very small town, and this is a big opportunity. We're listening, sister.
Yes, it's because in these small towns, now we know that when we go to the convention, the mayors of these big cities, you know, kind of puff up. But we need to look down at these small towns, because with being in Taft, what's our advantage to being in Taft rather than, say, in New Orleans or Atlanta? Well, because we don't have all the regulations. So we don't have to go try to find this. We don't have to try to find, okay, we need this permit, we need that permit, we need this. Oh, no, no. The town is open to us so that we can have set up the corporations there. And so in these small black towns, that's what we need. We need to start that, and so we don't have to go through that, through all those regulations. Now, so from there, we're going to have access to some other people there. As I mentioned, Newark. Okay, so we're coming to Newark. We've got people from Newark. Let me just say that the newest council member who was just voted, June 21st, council member Dupree Kelly, very active. He was a member of the Lords Underground hip-hop movement. So he has the hip-hop. They all came out and supported his and supported his campaign. Other people from Newark, like Queen Latifah and Shaquille O'Neal, who's very much into economic development. He's from Newark. So there's going to be opportunities there. And the program is still being developed, and we don't want a name drop or anything like that, and that's not what it's about. But let me just say, Newark has an opportunity zone of its own. It needs to be developed. Look at the Newark port. Look at the Newark airport as well. So there's economic in each one of these cities. So what Mayor Foley Davis is want to do is we want to have a reception, because as a hostess, she needs to receive all the other mayors, which means we have to have funding and support to do that. So we're asking for sponsors. Now, you have opportunities to talk with big city mayors, and you have opportunities to talk with small town mayors as well. So I can see the diversity of the Black Belt Wall Street, because you'll have opportunities to now say, okay, what can I do in Newark? What can I do in a small town like Taft, Oklahoma, and these other small towns? There's tons of money there for infrastructure. There's an organization that I've worked with called Black Solar, and there's a sister who's on that who was the first black woman to get a Ph.D. in civil engineering. So now if you're going to actually do housing, you got to have a civil engineer. They got to look at the landscape. You have to have architects. We have people who are tiny houses and others. So what does this sponsorship get you? It's going to give you access to mayors, big city mayors, to small town mayors as well, okay? And it'll also give you access. This is a political convention. So it's going to get you access to political leaders as well at that reception. It's going to get you access to other people that we want to bring in that can be investors, because and it's going to get you attention as credible of being having the credibility of being able to develop a black economic agenda. Why? Because you invested in the convention. You didn't just say, well, I'm going to come and black folks ought to have this and black folks ought to that. You have invested time, effort, and money into a convention that is actually going to have an agenda. So this is what this reception that Mayor Foley Davis as a hostess would like to do, and to give you that type of access. And you'll have access. As it was in 1972, it was a star-studded event. So will it be this year, a star-studded event. And so, and when I mean star-studded, I don't mean just somebody coming looking, you know, for, oh, okay, I want some attention, or buy my next record, come to my next movie, you know, stuff like that. No, the celebrities who will be there are conscious. They're coming in wanting to see what this agenda should be. How should it be developed? So they have a lot of input themselves, and then they have a influence, so that they can not only invest, but they have an influence of investing others. So as being on the ground level of saying, okay, we want to develop the economic agenda that's there, then you're going to have access. People from around the world are going to see what economic agenda that you are putting forth. So we do need sponsorships. And so we're asking for contractors. We're asking for businesses to sponsor. And we want to start at $1,000. Why? Because we're looking at to be just at the lower level of a hostess is $10,000. Okay. But now we want to make sure that people come to our hospitality, not just to our reception, but to our hospitality rooms. We want to make sure also that you can be that you are vendors as well. So that starts at $300. We have the Marcus Garvey Economic Pavilion there. So you'll be able to, if you have inventions or whatever that you have, and again, if you're looking for investors, if in the agenda you're saying, okay, this is our, we're looking for investors, or this is what we have developed. I was in Selma back for in March for the Bloody Sunday, annual Bloody Sunday bridge crossing. I was able to see what Mr. Harris had done, okay? So now he has the portfolio that he can put forth to people. And then it'll give you access with his portfolio, what he's done in Selma. I'm hoping that he will then invite, and we'll have the mayor of Selma there to you know, credibility of saying, this is what this person has done, or someone else, this is what this person has done. And then they'll be able to talk with other mayors, because these mayors are going to have roundtables among themselves, because they're looking for answers. They need water treatment. They need broadband services. And there's money's already available for that. So this is what your sponsorship will be. We're looking to get an initial $10,000 within the next week, because that's the initial money that we have to have. But we want to have a nice reception. We want you guys to be a part of that. And the best that when you make that reception really well, you're attracting people. And we want to put that on the website, that an opening reception and other events are being sponsored by the Black Belt, Black Wall Street. And so now you become a major sponsor of that. Then people see that, like, well, who are these people? You know, link to your website, and then you're taken seriously. So, you know, that's the type of things that we want to have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Muhammad. Ms. Muhammad, and I really, really want to thank you as a president of Black Belt Wall Street. And I also want to say everything you talked about this evening as far as putting together a national agenda, Black Belt Wall Street, as you know, started from the time of slavery. And the Black Belt Wall Street, the identity of the Black Belt Wall Street is the colored soil. The colored soil, which we're talking about farming, ran all the way from Texas to Delaware, because this is where the heavy concentration of slave farming went on. Now, as far as the Black Belt Wall Street, this is a our agenda, when we come there, the message that we would like to leave with is that we are trying to bring back and have African Americans to see the power of what they have already done and redo what was already done as far as the Black Belt and Black Belt Wall Street was able to do. And so when it comes to our agenda, yes, we're talking about going back to that black soil. And what do I mean by that? Is that those of us who left the southern communities and migrated to the northern communities, we've been into this integration and migration now ever since 1965. And today we're finding that our economical situations is terrible compared to the times of segregation and the Black Wall Street Business Association. During those times, was our most economical, valuablest time, just during the time of racism and segregation, integration. It's what brought us to the point where we are today. So yes, going back to the black soil, going back to dark soil, which is basically going to be the same southern countries that we left, this is where the black opportunities are. And again, yes, farming, land. I just told you, the United States was built off the dark soil, and the slaves that brought about the produce from the farming land. And this is what made the wealth of this country. So again, African Americans, we're saying now, let's redo what we've already done, but this time we're doing it for self. And so now we're talking about, again, you're looking at some of the speakers, like you said, might be Marcus, or the history of Marcus Garvey, or the history of many other black businesses, but all of these black businesses that we will be giving history on, especially if we go back to the time of Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad with the Nation of Islam, all of this was started and financed by the Black Belt Business Association. So again, we doing the Black Belt is what our agenda and our message is all about. So again, if there is a platform that can invite us to it, to speak to mayors or anyone else, because our message is say, let's redo what we've already done. And but the only way that can be done, and you start talking about the success of Selma, Alabama, and other areas that Black Belt Wall Street may be concentrating on as we speak, it's all because we are becoming our own assets. In other words, we're becoming vested, financially vested with each other to build our business communities. And I think, and I've said so many times, that African Americans, they need to start business communities in every community. There should be, just like you have your PTA meetings or whatever type meetings, but there should be a business organization in every community, because it is business that makes a community independent. So again, everything you talked about here, it's exciting. I find it very exciting because Black Belt Wall Street has something to offer, and we know we can be quite informative, and not only informative, but we're hoping we can be persuasive to the mayors and anyone else that is there to say, let's become financially vested in each other. Entitlements that we can get from the federal government, they owe these entitlements to us. But again, that's not our success. Our success is investing and become vested in our communities and growing businesses in our communities and bringing back what Black Belt Wall Street and what Black Belt Wall Street and Black Wall Street was able to do financially. So thanks so much. And I look forward to, after I speak to my national directors, I hope that, and I'm looking forward to being a sponsor, and also I'm hoping that our agenda is valuable enough where our message can be heard. Thanks so much, sister.
I want to thank you all for listening to me and the enthusiasm, and I want to thank you all for all the work that you have done and put in into the Black Belt Wall Street. And I know that you all will be heard, and I'm just encouraging everybody, come with your portfolio. Come with when you put it, we want your sponsorship, but we want to see, you know, your website. We want to see your portfolio. We want to get you in touch with Mayor Baraka's office as soon as possible, and so that they know who you are, they know what you're doing, and they actually see it. And this also, we're talking about the next step. And the next step is where we're going to leave that convention is to say we want to come to Selma, but to other small conventions all around the country. And the way we do that is we got to come in strong. They want to see, and you'll have access, but please have your portfolios together, have so they'll see. If you have whatever, whether it's your business layout, if you want investments, you know, have your Dun & Bradstreet, have everything in place to do business, because the business of America is business, and it's time that we get to do our business. So it's available to you. Just have everything ready, and we look forward to working with you guys and supporting everything that you have, and look forward to seeing you guys in Newark. Thank you, and thank you, Sister Joy.
And Sister, last but not least, how soon do you need our response?
We need your response. Well, I'm by Friday, really. We do need a response on Friday. And once we get that response, because I have to report back to Mayor Baraka's office, because they're going to be making their decisions by Friday, because they need to, by next week, start putting this out to a national and international audience. So you want to be on the ground level. You know, I want to make sure that if I say, okay, we're going to have a economic agenda, we'll have workshops, then I actually have to submit the names of the people. But I say, okay, Black Belt, Wall Street is going to be a part of it and be delegation on the economic agenda. Then I need you guys to actually come through. And then we're running. We're running because it is in October 21st to 23rd. But mainly, everyone that I work with, I'm telling them, okay, we got to run because we want to be on the websites. We want to be in the media. When the media asks, well, who's going to be there? What is this agenda going to be about? We want you guys to already have your information out there. So if you're interviewed by, we say, okay, Black Belt Wall Street is putting together the economic agenda. And so we can, you know, let the media know, okay, call up Black Belt Wall Street so that you can be interviewed, so that people will know what you're doing. And also, remember, this is a convention, and we'll be voting on a black agenda. So now we've got to actually canvass people and caucus them so they see the value of your agenda. Because a lot of times what we're doing is, yeah, we have our Blog Talk Radio, we have our Zoom, we have this and that. Here's an opportunity now that you got to stand before millions of people and say, hey, this should be the agenda. And they're going to want to know how, why, where, whatever. And so we want to make sure that, you know, definitely by September, the 1st of September, that we get this information up and to the media on websites, have your websites you know, be linked to your website, be able to write you up in the media. And Sister Joyce, I'm hoping that she will help with that. You know, I'm suggesting her to be on a media team and be able to write you guys up, have your press kits together and everything, so that if we say, here are people who are going to be talking about the economic agenda, here's your press kit. So we see all your photographs, your biography, and like I said, the portfolio of what you have built. Like I say, I went down to Selma and saw some of that. So we want to be able to have that and everything, so that people are going to be able to see. So this is not a talking convention. This is actually going to say, let's see it. If it works, what have you been doing for the last 20, 30, 40 years? Okay, it works. Okay, now that it works, we can invest in this. We can go and model this. And the mayors are going to be looking for that as well, because they can't just bring back hot air. They're not just coming you know, not Mayor Baraka, you know what I mean? They're not coming because he's been able to bring in hundreds of millions of dollars into Newark and revamp their downtown. And then also along these rivers, along these riverfronts need to be developed as well, whether it's Detroit, whether it's Newark, whether it's in New Orleans or other small towns. I see right there in Selma, that riverfront needs to be developed. You know, I saw a lot of things that could be done. And so in order for them to, you know, go and put that into their budget, go and petition that to get earmarks, they got to see, they've got to know that, you know, okay, these are credible contractors. These are credible builders. Okay, this is what the person has done on climate change. These are some of the projects that they see. And so that they actually, they, you know, they're there, they're looking for the evidence. So we want to make sure that that comes up front. And so just to answer your question, how soon? Very, very soon as possible, because we want to make sure that you guys are on the ground level, like I said, and that you are actually going to, we can point to these to you all and say, here's a group that we need to follow their lead in the development of a black economic agenda. So thank you.
Yes, I'm just sorry we're getting started so late. I do know I heard sort of about this information a few months ago, but I didn't get the full agenda because I think at that time I thought it was just something Sam Harris was coming in to just make a speech. But like
we're
I said,
how long have you all been working on this, Sister Patricia? How long have you all been
working on this since November? Now, there's been some glitches, so we had to put it back and everything. But this is the 50th anniversary, so there we want to make sure that we get this going. So we still have 2 months. We still have 8 weeks before the convention. But a lot, like any convention, a lot of the work is done before the convention and after the convention. So before the convention, everybody needs to know who you are and what you're about, so they can support your platform, just like any political convention. Why should we incorporate what you're doing into a national black agenda? So you have to convince people to vote for you. So the national black community needs to know who you are, and they're willing to get behind you. And then they'll vote for it at the convention. And then the work after the convention is, now everybody's going to say, okay, let's see that this actually is getting done, because we want to now start having annual conventions and things of that nature. But mostly we want to see Black Belt Wall Street all over this country. When we go through little towns and big cities built by so-and-so Black Belt Wall Street. That's what we want. And so we want the work with you guys, and we love what you all are doing. And I'm just excited about it. And if you have any other questions?
Do you have an idea of what you expect the attendance to be at this convention?
Yes, this is for us, the delegates, because 50 years ago, it was 10,000 delegates. And we were saying, well, in the age of COVID, if we get 5,000, okay, now, but we realized that because of COVID, I'm saying, okay, yeah, 5,000 could attend, but we want to have a virtual, it's a hybrid convention. So portions of it will be virtual. And then we want to put forth a lot of effort into the technology and being YouTube and Facebook, Our Black Truth and others. So we're at the Essex County College there and in Newark and in downtown Newark. And so, you know, downtown Newark, there are also some other colleges, the New Jersey Institute of Technology and others. So the initial was 5,000, and we're sure to get in that area at least, you know, a few thousand. But what we do have to answer your question, sister, is that as our celebrities begin to voice that they will be there, we expect to have a lot more people, and especially a lot more younger people. But the celebrities that we're looking at are not just run-of-the-mill. These are people who are economically astute, and people from Newark and others. They're economically astute, so we do expect to have a few thousand there, and we're just simply saying that because of COVID. And so as a sponsor, you will have access also to anything that's virtual, so that people will know who you are virtually as well.
Excellent, excellent.
Sister Muhammad, again, thank you so much. And we look forward to being a sponsor, and hopefully we'll be able to give you an answer within the next 24 hours after all of the directors. And let me just say, I do see that we do have some directors I want to acknowledge before you leave. We have the director in Delaware. We have directors, sister, Director Stone, are you with us? Director Stone out of Texas, are you with us? Okay. Director Swan out of Delaware, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you.
Anything you'd like to say to the sister before we she leave and we will all start talking about our Newark, putting together our agenda for this convention. But any of our directors, if there's anything, any comments you'd like to make, our mics are open for you to make them now.
I'm very appreciative of what Sister Muhammad has presented, and I'll be looking into it from the educational perspective.
Indeed so. And like I said, we already know we have our programs and our agenda put together because we've been talking about it for so long. But now we can present it to the entire country. So,
May I just add, sir? Let me just add, because when you mentioned Sister Stone and others as well, I know that they have tiny homes and some others. And as I mentioned, we'll be on the campus of Essex County, Essex County College, and then next door also is at New Jersey Institute of Technology and others. So if you have, it would be nice if they had some model homes. Well, they had, you know, could bring up a model home so that we could look at the college, maybe setting that up. So if you have, like I said, model homes or whatever, you know, some equipment or whatever that, you know, you have invented and other things of that nature, you know, let us, that's what I want to know as soon as possible so we can present that to the college so that people could come and see. Okay, this is the type of model home that you could have here or there, or we could take this home and we could build it anywhere in the country. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to insert that when you mentioned Sister Stone and some of the others. And I thank you very much, and everyone have a very good evening. God bless.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, indeed.
All right.
Very good.
So again, at this time, I guess that's our business portion of our show. And now we will go into, we'll be turning it over now to Sister Aisha.
Thank you. We do have a short period of time, and that's fine. I only wanted to mention a few things, and I think I started mentioning these things. You know, it's very important that we keep tab on what the federal government is doing with our resources and how they are coming back into the community. But today I was encouraged when I received in my inbox the notification from FEMA regarding the mitigation program. And this is the one that has been promised for some time. So it is now finally out, and everybody got who's part of the partnership got their announcements today. And it is a total of $3.95 billion in funding that is available. And it and of course, the application period is September 30, 2022 through January 27, 2023. And there are 50 states that's involved in this, and including the District of Columbia, Guam, and Puerto Rico, and American Samoa, and of course the Virgin Islands. So this is a these are programs that we naturally have been waiting for, and we plan to be directly involved and recipients of some of these grants, realizing that we're not just making our living on grants, because some organizations can do that, but there's many more things that Black Belt Wall Street can do and will do in the future. But however, they have emphasized, and based on some of the things I mentioned before, they have especially made a statement about the support and prioritizing mitigation for the historically disadvantaged communities. And they are doing this because of all of the flack that FEMA has been getting over the years in that they do not assist the underserved community. So they have made it a point to state that they intend to provide direct technical assistance to these communities, which is free, and to help these communities put their packages together to present to them. So, and I think that this is something that we as a group of people in the communities in Alabama and Louisiana and different places like that should take advantage of this direct technical assistance. Because if you take advantage of that, of course, they're going to help you design your program where you can get this money that you need for your communities. So we are continuing to look at this, and we are work together with Black Belt Wall Street to put a program together so we can be a recipient of some of these funds, but we want to do it on a national level, right? So another point that I wanted to make is the impact of climate change on our children. And this is becoming a major issue because 88% of the existing burden of climate change disease is affecting our children under the age of 5 years old. That's a large percentage. And we haven't been talking about this issue before. It hasn't been in the news. But we as a people, if it's affecting the total population of children under the age of five by 88%, can you imagine what it's doing to our children? And so we have got to put this factor into our equation of any type of financial and economic project that we have as it relates to climate change or economic development. And I think that we're remiss in the fact that we haven't thought about the effects of climate change on their children. But the articles are now coming out. The law was passed. The Biden administration signed the Homeland Security Children's Act into law on June the 6th, 2022. And now it is being published in all the federal documents. And this is something that we need to look at, especially our people who have the day nurseries and the kids on the children on the elementary level. We need to look at it. And I don't think that we as a people can talk of financial security unless we look at our children and the impact that all of this is having on them. They're especially susceptible to the heat waves and the air pollution, food deprivation, and malnutrition. Their tolerance level is very low, and UNICEF has declared this a state of emergency for children under the age of five. And I think UNICEF is a very conservative organization historically, and so if they are declaring this as a state of an emergency, we should definitely, without a doubt, pay close attention to it. So those are some of the things that probably for in the month of September especially, we want to talk about putting together some programs that we can propose to the national groups that we come in contact with on a partnership level to protect our young people. And hopefully as we get involved with the project in Newark, we have to look at economics as it goes through our history and who's going to be there to appreciate the economics that we're going to develop if our children are ill and incapacitated and can't take advantage of these opportunities. So that's pretty much what I had to talk about tonight. Any questions? Anyone seeing the same thing that I'm seeing with the new release of the Building Resilience Infrastructure and Community Funding Project? Did any of you all get this in your inbox at all?
No.
Okay.
I'm gonna send it up to you all on tomorrow, inshallah, so you all can have this information. And this is what we want to hold them accountable for. And we have got to make sure that more of our people are on these mailing lists so they can get this information, you know, because it's already gone to the states, each state, the 10 region mitigation officers. It's already gone to them. It went to them today also. Now, if it has gone to them, it has also gone maybe tomorrow to the state mitigation officers. Then from the state mitigation officers, it's gone to the county and the local government person that's in charge of mitigation or in charge of hazard, if they have someone. So by the end of the week, that I would think that all over the country, every entity will have this information. It has not. It probably has not gone to the community action agencies because most of them have not plugged into the network, the alliance, the partnership. And I think that we're in a position, Black Belt Wall Street, to help educate our community and the organizations in our community on becoming connected. So they can access the information. Because if we are not an informed community, we're in serious trouble, and that has been a large part of our problem. We come in on the tail end because we are not informed initially so we can get started. So if this grant period is for an entire year, from September 22 through January 23, that's the eligibility period, okay? But the funds are going to be available for the next 3 years, 3 to 5 years, okay? So any questions?
Yes, Sister Aisha, I don't have so much a question as I do a statement. And that is, brothers and sisters, we have two major agendas that we can offer this country. And this convention is going to give us the opportunity to do so. One, as you know, is our business association and our business activities and what we're proposing to do to rebuild the Black Belt as far as our business agenda. Then we have our natural disaster agenda, and we have experts. The beautiful thing about I see here at Black Wall Street is that not only do we have the experts to talk and teach, but these same experts can apply the practicality of everything that they're talking about and teaching about. That's the beautiful thing that we have going here. All of us are experts in our own field, and that expertise is what is brought about our being directors of Black New Africa Business Association as an LLC and Black Wall Street as a nonprofit organization. Brothers and sisters, I think what I'm trying to say is that when they talk about a valuable information, we have it. And so I think once we, and the beautiful thing is that this sister, she wants to have a successful, valuable organization. And she also realizes that when it comes to the mayors, can put together legislation, but without a good community agenda, the mayors really don't have anything. And so I think when we go up there, we're going to be able to make a very, very impressive and powerful presentation. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and take a vote, because we to see if we want to go to the convention, and then the sponsorship, I think we need to send $1,000, and then we'll be sending in our bio of Black Wall Street Business Association. So with that said, I guess because we don't get a chance to speak to each other, and I see that we have nothing on the line right now but directors. How is our vote going? How do everyone feel about, first of all, going to Newark? And the way I see it, the $1,000 cost is going to come down to about approximately $200 or less. So with that said, I need to hear the yays or nays on whether we should be going there and whether we're prepared to go ahead and pay the sponsorship, because we are very short on time and we do need to go ahead and put our agenda together. So with that said, I'm looking to hear from all of our directors now on yays and nays, and do we go to this convention and go ahead and send in our sponsorship. And if you don't want to do the yays and
nays. I wanted to speak on, well, I'm all over the place with so much information having been given. But I think I'm inclined towards, first of all, yes, we must support this effort. That's a given, in my opinion. Next of all, I especially am interested in that small town approach. I like that idea, and my own head is churning towards doing something, presenting something to those persons who will listen to our portfolio of information, and looking at it from the educational perspective, only because we're talking about how climate change is affecting our little ones. And I can see those three things going into an excellent portfolio presentation.
And let me just say this. Like I was just saying, going to Newark, and I ain't going to say my directors, I know what the directors of Black Wall Street have to present. And I also know that they're looking for the value of Black Wall Street to really, I think, to really make this convention. I think they're willing to give us just about anything that we need, especially in those workshops that they're going to be having. And so within these workshops, if I have anything to do, we're putting it together, I am going to say that all of our directors have a program, a valuable program, that needs to be shared. So I look forward to our participation in public speaking, but I also look forward to our participation in all the workshops. And of course, like they said, when it comes to the news media, when it comes to the mayors or those who will be asking or wanting to ask questions or get to know more about us after we have made our presentation. And we have, so again, all of our directors will be prepared to answer questions. And I'm saying probably to a large audience once we present ourselves. So again, yes, the director out of Delaware, thank you for your vote. Of course, I am with you. I think we should go too. So that makes two of us. Anyone else?
I think we should just
go right ahead. Go right ahead, directors.
Yes, sir. I mean, this is Sister Joyce, and the information that Sister Patricia shared with us, I feel especially in the economic development portion where she was speaking of how we can work on developing our own plan, putting some things together. Now, like you were saying, Brother Bilal, over the years, we have discussed many, many things on this particular platform, on your show. We have three or four very good proposals, initiatives that we can introduce to them and hopefully get some opportunity for someone to help us fund it. Also, with the preparedness training, Sister Aisha, I think this is a very timely thing for all of us. And each of us with our programs or projects or whatever we're proposing, we should all have a section of the preparedness training to also offer and have plenty, plenty, plenty handouts and things of this nature to share with the public. So, yes, I feel that we should participate.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ms. Williams. Rest of our anyone else?
I'm not a director, but somebody on the phone. I agree with everything wholeheartedly.
Sister Aisha, did you say you're not a director?
I'm not a director, but I agree.
Sister Aisha, are you joking? What do you mean you're not a director?
I thought there was some kind of, I don't know. I am a director?
You were the director the day that you and I made our agreement. When I
took
you
okay. That's
great.
Well, thank you so much.
I'm going to take this sword, Sister Aisha, and knight you.
Okay,
I
accept that 100%, and thank you so much. I'm honored, and yes, I agree with the group.
Excellent, thanks so much.
Yeah, good. Good. Oh yeah, you know what you're talking about. I agree with everything. I thought Sister Patricia Muhammad, the information she gave up. Between her and Sister Aisha, I could sit down and listen to both of them, give up that information all day, and try to just soak it in. I know I couldn't remember that. That's why I said I have to go back over and tape it, because It's just that both of them give us such valuable information that's needed for the community. And I surely think we ought to participate, for sure. I thank you, Sister Aisha, for giving up that good information as well as Sister Patricia. I'm with it, brother.
All right. So we're unanimous, and I can almost speak for Sam Harris. I know he's out. He spoke to me already. He's out on a business occasion where they're traveling. But I know he will be. And Director Stone, she's not with us, but I'm hoping that she will be with us. But
ignited. Last night she said she was ignited by the information, so she's fired up.
Okay, well then in that case, we're talking. Let's get our numbers together here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That would be what? Is that 7? Well, Joyce, you tell me. We have yourself. We have Delaware. We have North Carolina. We have Washington, D.C., count myself and Isis. And then we have Director Stone and Brother Harris. How many
I think
is
it's
it?
7.
Okay,
seven.
So as you can see, we're talking less than $100, a little over $100, where we need to go ahead and send in our sponsorship so they'll know that we are on there, so she can put us on that agenda. And like I said, I know this sister, she's looking forward to our coming on because I think these folks are looking for us to sort of make the show. So, and I can tell you right now, I'm looking forward to us making the show. I know what we have. And we're going to put now our agenda together for that convention. And remember, the agenda that we're putting together could easily go to the news media. So we want to make it very, very impressive. I'll get with Sam Harris and the rest of us, and we will put together, and we should have that, hopefully that agenda together as soon as I can speak to him and get him to go to work on it. I'm hoping to have most of this work done before this week is out. And I'm hoping to have this work sent to our administrative director, which is Joyce Williams in Oklahoma. She is the one who will be taking care of our sponsorship. So,
question is, how will we do that? We need to meet. How are we going to meet? Let's set up, if we want immediacy, let's now state our days, and it should be, we have only 2 days this week.
I'm going to let you guys set it up as to how we can meet. I know Sister Bernice, Sister Swan, and also Sister Aisha, I know you guys have ways as to where we can maybe get together and put together our speaking agenda, speaking
exactly.
topic. And so, but right now, and we need to get all of that together so we can get it to Sister Williams, and Sister Williams can present it to Sister Muhammad.
Do we send you the, what was that breakdown, 100 and something?
Well, right now we're talking about just I'll tell you what, we're on every, since it's 7 of us, that's $700. And so the leftover is only about $60 or $70. So if everybody's sending in their $100, I'll do the change. I'll pay the $130 or $140, but everybody just concentrate on sending Sister Williams $100. And then, of course, we need to get Sister Williams our agenda so all of that can be presented on what they can expect for us to present at that convention.
Okay. So how do I send it to Sister Williams? How do I send it to you?
Well, now, my thing would be, why can't we all just find a way to send it to Sister Patricia?
Well, because again, I think,
happen to me, and then I would have to, I don't know.
She has a very good relationship with you, and you guys have so in other words, like I said, I think she wants to do us a special, sort of a special a package. Let's put it that way. And she has a very, very good rapport with you. And now, if you don't want the responsibility of doing this, we can go in another direction. But I just thought because...
Well, Brother Belair, wouldn't it be better if we sent it to you all and then you sent it as one...
One check directly on behalf of Black Belt Wall Street. I don't have a problem with that. I agree. So tell us how to send it to you. Okay, well, then now you can just send it. You can guys do Zelle, Cash Out. You can just go into New Africa Business Association .com, and then when you go into the web, you'll see where it says membership. And so just send it under memberships, $100, and you'll see how you can be sent. That can be sent Cash Out. That can be sent PayPal. It can be sent Zelle. But any way that you wish to send that to me. And but the biggest thing is the $100, and then when we get the our agenda, Miss Swan will be speaking on, our agenda on what Black Belt is going to be speaking on, and the agenda of what our disaster program is going to be speaking on. So here we have I see where the disaster program and educational program, I see where those two may be able to sort of coincide with each other. And then, of course, the business program, myself, Aziz, and Brother Sam Harris will more or less concentrate on that.
Ideally, it would be three. Especially from what was presented tonight with the aspect of what has happened with our children, with what's happening with this climate change,
mm-hmm.
and also the impact that it's having, especially on our children educationally.
Right.
And that is going to definitely go towards these very small, predominantly black communities.
Those three titles would be what we would be basically taken to the platform when we go there. And if that's the case, then that's what we need to put together and along with the sponsorship. Now, after we, and Sister Williams, now after we do all of that, are you going to be the one to present it to her?
Yes, I'll do that.
Okay, fine. Fine. Well, I will.
Now, when you say presented, are you saying do we at least a portfolio? But since she mentioned portfolios, it wouldn't be verbal. It would be something that we have actually prepared in writing to get
right.
to.
Yes.
Is that correct, Joyce?
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
But mm-hmm. the thing would be, I would just ask her, where do I forward it to?
Right. And she did say something about the National Black Political Convention 2022, but I don't know if that was a .com or what. What was going on with that particular title?
You mean for the website itself
mm-hmm.
or just for informational purposes? This will be the 50th anniversary of the Black Political Convention that they started in 1972.
So do they the actual way to is that a website also?
Yes. Now, if you guys will check your text messages, I sent out a whole lot of it, and one of them is on the Black National Political Conference, or excuse me, convention,
right.
2022. Yeah. One of them is in your text messages.
And again, you're going to send it to them, or do we send it? We don't send. We're not going to send them independently to them. We'll send it to you, and you're taking care of that. Is that right?
No, I think we're supposed to send it to. You mean in terms of our money?
It's coming to Black.
Oh no. The money is going to go to Bilal. I was thinking of these three portfolios on what we're going to do.
That's
going to come under a heading. A black belt Wall Street, and our entire agenda is going to come under the heading of Black Belt Wall Street, and along with our sponsorship. So when you guys send it to me, you'll be sending me again your subject or whatever you're going to be presenting, and like I said. When it comes to the business side, I look forward to myself, Brother Aziz, and Sam Harris putting together the business agenda. But when it comes to the disaster and educational side, I look for you guys to put that together. But everything is going to come under the one heading of Black Belt Wall Street.
Okay.
And that's what will be sent to Joyce. And rather than sending it to the .com, Joyce will be sending it to wherever that sister wants to receive it. Because, like I said, I think this sister is going to really look out for us.
Ms. Williams,
I'm a little confused. How do we know what kind of platform are we making a presentation on? How much time do we have? What kind of, I'm not sure if I understand what kind of presentation.
From what I've gathered from just listening, there are going to be, I think, two or three different evenings of this convention.
Right.
I think I'm looking at probably that first evening. All of those.
Friday is workshops. Saturday is they're going to handle the overall agenda. And Sunday is Brother Farrakhan doing the eulogy. Those were the three areas. Workshops on Friday, which is probably where we'll make those platform presentations. Saturday
is
overall looking at their agenda.
Okay, Saturday, she said, caucus on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And Friday's the workshops.
So again,
Brother Farrakhan.
Now, of course, when they have that guest speaker on Sunday, he's going to take up just about, most of the activities that will be involved will start Friday, Saturday. But like I said, once we are known, and then a lot of the spare time, you're going to have folks questioning. Who questioning us individually, and we'll be ready to deal with activities. But like I said, as far as the workshops, and that's the one that I'm betting on, that this sister, if they give us a workshop, and let's say that workshop could be two or three, I don't know, it could be our own workshop as to where. I know in many conventions that I've been to, and once you have a workshop, it's your workshop. In other words, it may take you an hour or 2 hours to do your workshop, but there are going to be many workshops going on all at the same time, and everybody's going to be selecting which workshop they wish to participate in.
She put it in three different categories. Of course, they'll probably expand. And the categories given to us were education, economics, and family.
Again, education, economics, and family.
For the workshops.
Okay, well then we know which workshop we belong to, because the one we want is education and economics. I don't know too much.
Remember, family is definitely going to go under disaster preparedness, so we can fit into all three.
That's the one where you would be, as far as the family, and like I said, that would come under that would come under our workshops, because again, remember, our workshops is going to be probably all three of those subjects. And
I would suggest for the family, we do disaster preparedness training.
Okay.
Ms. Williams. Disaster preparedness training should be Ms. Williams. I'm going to be in education, and you will, and Aziz will be under business. That'll take care of the three.
Sister Joyce is not ready. I am here to assist.
Sister Joyce is not ready to do a training workshop on disaster preparedness. Anything that has to do with the disaster preparedness, Sister Aisha has to be in charge of it.
Oh, yes.
So
okay.
Anything that has to do anything with the disaster preparedness, you guys are going to come under the directions of Sister Aisha. And the same thing when it comes to the business, it will come under the direction probably myself. But when you guys start putting together your disaster preparedness, she will. I look for her to take charge and add on the education or whatever else that will be that we have the expertise in.
Let's look at family, and then one of the headings under family will be disaster preparedness, education. Community development, things of this nature would all come under the family. Sister Bernice, let us work on those components if you don't mind.
And that was my question. When can we meet? Because we need to actually meet apart from our meeting tonight and clear our heads on how we want to do
there
that.
There you go. There you go.
Okay. We need to start immediately. So right now.
Yes.
You can hang up and you can call me. I can call you. We can call each other. How you want to do it?
Joyce, call us. Put us on a three-way.
Are you ready?
The radio station is getting ready to go off. But again, we know that. I'll get with Brother Sam Harris and Brother Roger. We'll put together the business. We'll work on the business side. You guys take it to the natural disaster, and then we will go ahead and present everything to her. Can we do it by Friday?
Sounds good.
Excellent.
We'll have something for you by Friday.
All right, excellent. And if anybody needs to call me for anything, everybody has my number. So with that said, listen, you guys, I'm looking forward to this. I'm very excited about this because of the places. This is going to put us, let's say, on the map. So
go
ahead and put our powerful agendas together that we've been talking about for so long. Condense it as to where we know we can't be, but I ain't going to get into that. I'm going to let you guys do your thing and present it when it's time to present. Thanks so much for your attendance. And now next Wednesday, we're on vacation. We will not have a radio show next Wednesday, my vacation, my wife's vacation. And so we're going to take next Wednesday off. So with that said, I look forward to hearing from everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. And enjoy your...
Right.